And you are listening to the Fanta Wrestling Network here at FOW Live on this Wednesday night, Thanksgiving Eve edition. My name is Patrick. With me, as always, Denny Danger and Eric with the C. Mika's still not with us. She's still alive, from what I hear, even if she won't be with us. At the Cater of the Wrestles either. But it's okay. Bryan Danielson won't be there, so might as well the disappointments continue. Fellas, how are you guys doing this evening? And are you guys looking forward to Turkey Day? I don't think we've ever talked about this on the radio, but what is your Thanksgiving traditions, if any? I know you guys have evolved in, you know, since you got, you know, grown.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm not really, like, a big Thanksgiving person. You know, some people are, like, they really enjoy the food and they wait all year for it. Eh. You know, now, these days we have two Thanksgivings. Drive to my to the in-laws for kind of a Thanksgiving late lunch, 12:31-ish. As they're up in the mountains, it takes about an hour and a half to get to their place. So I drive up there, hang out for a while, eat some food, watch the parade, and they typically like to watch the Westminster Kennel Dog Show. That's pretty much watching that after the parade ends. We hang out for a little bit, and then we'll have to jet off to come back towards Buford Ways to go to my family for kind of a dinner and dessert for a few hours until we're all pretty pooped and ready to go home. So I guess to me it's kind of more about visiting with people, but it's not like I'm seeing people that I only see once or twice a year. You know, these are family members that I see, you know, fairly regularly, but it is still just kind of good to be together with everybody. And I guess that to me, that's always what Thanksgiving has been more about, spending time with people, you know, that are important to you, your family. Mm-hmm. And, you know, If you're lucky, some close friends and things like that as well.
Especially as the family expands.
Yes, yes, yes. Ever expanding, I think.
Mm-hmm. Easy.
Yeah, I don't give a shit about people. I just want to eat.
It's all about the food and how you eat it.
How you cook it, because if it sucks, oh, I'm not eating it.
That's true.
So you're
usually do you cook anything?
My aunt usually does, but this year they're going to a cousin's house that we went to last year, and I tagged along last year, and the cousin had no clue how to cook. So the food was awful. So instead of doing that again this year, and also being in a room full of people that I don't really know, because they're cousins by marriage, and it's basically like, it's like this, my aunt's nephew's wife's cousins, you know, 18 different titles removed down the line.
Yeah, people you only ever see once a year, basically, if that.
Last year was the first time I saw 99% of them.
Gotcha.
So I didn't give a shit.
A lot of weird, awkward chit-chat and...
No, I didn't talk to anybody. I sat at the table with my uncle. I ate like three bites of the food, and I was like, yeah.
And it was like, what?
Yeah. I said, yeah, I'm going to my friend's house. I'll see y'all later.
Yeah.
So now I'm thankfully
thankfully they don't listen to this podcast, so you can trash them all you want.
Or if they do, learn how to cook, guys.
Yeah.
Point blank period.
I mean, if you can't cook, don't. That's what I do.
Don't offer Thanksgiving at your house if you can't cook.
Or order from some really good place that they'll make you look like five stars.
So, yeah, this year I got the offer to go, and I told him no. So I've got everything that I'm getting ready to cook tomorrow, getting ready to cook, I guess, theoretically, and we'll go from there.
Nice. So you're doing a full turkey and all that stuff, or are you just doing a partial? No.
I'm doing a turkey titty. And that's for in
what's a turkey titty?
A breast.
I didn't. They just sell that?
Yeah, it's like
Are you buying it to cook, or are you buying it like pre-cooked or something?
I have to I'm going to cook it.
Okay. Yeah, like they sell chicken breast and turkey breast.
I just didn't realize they did that with turkey. Yeah. Gotcha. Okay.
But yeah, I'm doing that. My aunt made dressing for me, because that's my favorite dish. So I just got to throw that in the oven, and then homemade mashed potatoes and homemade mac and cheese, and I'm making a pie. So,
okay.
So what is your kind of Thanksgiving pie? Are you pumpkin? Are you pecan?
I don't like either of those because they're both.
You like the rocks
trash.
Pie?
No, I
they're
don't.
Both what?
They're both trash. Okay. I hate pecans. I hate pumpkin. Okay. I hate pumpkin anything. Starbucks fucked that for me. So I'm making like a Hershey's chocolate pie.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, sounds good.
I'm excited.
So I liked pumpkin pie as a kid growing up until one year I got sick, after Thanksgiving. And the last thing I ate was the pumpkin pie. So while it was not the not necessarily the culprit of what made me vomit that night in the next couple days.
It's the last thing you remember.
It was the last thing I remember, so I've never really enjoyed pumpkin pie since then.
I feel you.
We do pecan. We do like chocolate pecan, which is really good too.
I'm not like a pecan person, which I know is kind of sacrilegious
coming from where you live. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, they're okay, but I don't want a pie full of them. And it's like a molassesy pie, and I'm not really feeling that.
That's true. Yeah, it can be very, very sweet depending on who makes them.
Yeah, if I was up to a challenge, I would have tried to make like an apple pie. Because I do fucks with apple pie and like vanilla ice cream. I'll fuck with that. But yeah, like that's too involved.
Gotcha.
For just me, because I would eat like a slice and a half of it, and the rest of it would go in the trash. So that
it would go in the trash. You don't. So you're not going to eat leftovers?
No, I eat leftovers, but like leftover sweets and stuff, I never fuck with it.
That's a shame.
I just don't like sweets very much, so.
Interesting. So you mentioned dressing is your favorite. So what's the difference between dressing and stuffing?
Shit, I don't fucking know.
I don't really know the difference either.
I think it's like from wherever you grow up, because I think it's pretty much the same shit as stuffing, but like I think you just call it stuffing up north and dressing in the south is kind of
I don't. I mean, there might be subtle differences, but I think basically it's kind of the same thing. Yeah.
So here's what I've heard. Obviously, I am not the one to say this is true or not, as I am, this is not my traditional food, but yes. I heard the people that call it dressing are the people who cook it, by itself, versus stuffing are the people who cook it inside the turkey.
That's possible. Yeah,
that makes sense. Yeah, that makes more sense. Yeah,
I just don't. I don't see the appeal of eating shit out of a turkey's ass. So, I'll pass.
I mean, I ain't gonna say nothing until you try it, but you know.
Yeah,
I'll knock it. I'm not ever gonna try that. I for whatever reason, that just doesn't appeal to me. Eating out of a butt, that'd be like taking a spoon and just going to town on somebody's butt. That just doesn't sound fun to me. I mean, we don't kink shame here, but if you like to take a spoon and eat your partner's butt, I mean, more power to you. Let your flag fly, but that doesn't appeal to me.
Yeah, no, I get it. To each their own, man. To each their own.
At least you know what you like or don't like.
Yeah. There you go. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of people who are still to this day probably very confused and have no clue what they like. And apparently you do it. You know, that's good to know.
I like this match that I'm watching. Does that count?
Speaking of wrestling, what wrestling are you watching?
After our conversation last night about I started watching Nitro from where he lost the mask.
Oh, goodness.
The best Ray Ray.
No.
With his devil horns and his Oshkosh.
Oh, my goodness.
His oversized Oshkosh. The damn filthy animal.
The fucking worst. The fucking worst.
I can't wait for Master P to show up.
Oh, yeah. The No Limit Soldiers?
Hell yeah.
That's where it's at.
But right now I'm watching the Owen Hart tribute match with Bret and Benoit.
Ah, yes. Featured in the opening credit scene of Malcolm in the Middle.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, just, you know, it's like they're showing clips of them fucking around and then just like a bunch of weird clips of like stuff boys like, and it shows Bret trying to put the sharpshooter on Benoit from that specific match at the opening. Like, and it's, you know, it's there for like 2 or 3 seconds, but if you know it's there, like you see it, obviously, you know what it is.
Right.
And it's pretty much the only time that those two had a match on Nitro, you know, a one-on-one match on Nitro. So you see those two guys and you go, oh shit, cool. But yeah, it's in the opening for Malcolm in the Middle. You know, there's also pictures of, you know, clips of Godzilla and monster movies and, you know,
that is
weird anime
that
and stuff.
Checked out, actually.
It has its merits. I like it, you know, but it's one of those that kind of hit or miss, come and go sometimes, you know?
I'm kind of like, I'm on this little kick where I'm trying to finish shows that I've started that I haven't finished yet. So,
yeah.
Like, right now, my
apart from Filthy Animals Nitro.
Yeah, is Dawson's Creek.
Ugh. Have fun.
I don't want to wait for this life to be over.
There you go. Serenading, man.
It's got some moments, but for the most part, I just realize how insufferable everybody is on the show.
Kind of 90s teen television, though. They were all just kind of terribly mopey and whiny, but also really like, you know, they just kind of over the top complained about the things that were oh so difficult and so challenging about teenage life, you know?
And you know how like kids, you know, you know, teenagers think they know best. These guys just thought they knew everything and anything, and it was just so
way
over.
The adults don't know how bad we have it. They don't understand us. They never will. They weren't like us, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, all that stuff.
So kind of weird. Well, let's talk some wrestling. Let's go ahead and start with little news to piggyback off something we're talking about last couple of weeks. Of course, we mentioned how NWA was coming to a deal with the CW Network. Of course, that went to crap. The NXT deal with the CW basically, completely sealed that deal. Apparently, NWA and CW are still going to be in business together because at least the very first 8 episodes of NWA Power are now airing on the CW app. So they're not airing on just the app, not the television channels directly. Yeah. Okay. So you can watch it in demand. So
I guess that's kind of their testing the water thing, maybe.
Probably. I mean,
seeing if people probably are seeing if people care enough for them to attempt to invest anymore.
Seeing if anybody's going to snort coke on pay per view.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Quote unquote. I mean, it was, you know. I don't imagine.
Well, it wasn't real coke, but
yeah. Maybe, but at the same time,
not, maybe not the first episode. Maybe not in the first 8 episodes. You know,
and not just coke. I mean, he was doing it with hookers, and you know.
Yeah, and it, I mean, it wasn't like a little coke. It was like a mound of coke.
There was a. It was like Scarface size piles. He just dip his face in, and everybody's just taking some and smearing it in their face and rubbing it in their mouth, and it was a little much. Yeah. I could see where some more family friendly areas wouldn't enjoy that.
Yeah. All right. So here we go. So we'll see how that goes. I mean, I'm assuming that maybe if a lot of people are watching Power on the CW app, maybe they'll be interested in gaining more episodes. You know, I mean, let's not forget, you know, we've had the Nick Aldis, Cody Rhodes, Matt Cardona, all passed through the NWA.
That's part of the issue right now is those kind of people have passed through.
They've already gone.
You know, they've come and gone, and at this point, you know, I mean, EC3's name doesn't carry kind of, you know, basically he kind of screwed over his own career with the whole CYN thing, and
he messed up his own narrative.
Yeah, basically, he controlled his own narrative in the wrong direction. You know, so that kind of hurt him a lot, his name value, and just kind of, you know, people taking him seriously in professional wrestling. So, I mean, they really don't have any quote unquote top stars, you know, that transcend outside the brand, really. That wrestling fans typically, you know, that really care about for the most part. I mean, the only one two that I'm paying attention to, and one is probably on her way out, would be Camille and Max the Impaler. And Camille's pretty much on her way out. Don't even know if she's going to continue in wrestling at this point, you know, or whether she'll just kind of move into other endeavors. You know, and Max is still, I mean, I think Max has a contract with NWA, but is also heavily as a freelancer too, you know, spending time in Japan and international and, you know, different places. So, you know, that's pretty much the only people that I really care enough to follow that the NWA has. And I don't, you know, so that I think is the bigger problem for them is they did so many things to kind of tarnish their own brand to the point where wrestling fans aren't really taking them that seriously. And it's probably going to be a struggle for them to kind of maintain and grow an audience. You know, think about TNA and the quote unquote missteps that they made and how long it's taken them to try and regain credibility basically in the eyes of wrestling fans. I mean, the whole Hogan stuff was 10 years ago, you know, over 10 years ago. And people still look at TNA as like it's some kind of joke, you know, despite having, you know, amazing roster and still putting on a quality product throughout all this time. It's, you know, the fall can be very quick. Well, the climb back is much, much, much slower.
Yeah. Well, more to come on that. So we'll just have to stay tuned.
Yeah.
And see what comes of it. Other news, you know, New Japan Pro Wrestling kicked off the World Tag League.
So, yeah. That's also fun. On their fancy new app. If you haven't tried that, New Japan World has now switched to an app. So far, I'm finding the app. It's fairly user-friendly. The only thing that I haven't been able to figure out thus far is how to play an entire show throughout. Because basically when you go to the show, it's all split up by the chapters or the individual matches. So what I'm finding is when I'm at least casting and streaming it, is it'll play the match and then it'll kind of end that file.
Gotcha.
And then I have to go back to the page and select the next match on the show to get it to play that match. But they now also have like the it's just one there's not a separate show with Japanese commentary and a separate show with English commentary. There's just the show, and then you can pick which commentary feed to listen to.
Interesting. I wonder what the live version of the show looks like. Are you watching live?
I mean, I assume watching live, it probably just shows through because it's a live stream. Mm-hmm. But that's what I'm saying. There probably is a way where I just click play the show and it'll play the whole thing. I haven't played around with it enough to figure it out. I've just watched a couple shows, you know, the first couple shows of the tag league. I haven't dug around too much on it. But I mean, it looks nice. It seems like it's got a nice interface and, working well.
Yeah. So they announced Battle in the Valley in San Jose on January 13th, a little over a week after Wrestle Kingdom. They announced Will Ospreay and Okada will be in attendance. Also, Zack Sabre Jr., Shingo, Eddie Kingston, Julia, ELP, Hikuleo, basically all of the champions so far.
Yeah. All of your top guys. Yeah. Well, I mean, and last year it was essentially a top show, you know, it wasn't kind of some, you know, here's a couple top guys and a bunch of locals. I mean, they tried to make it a big show. I mean, that was where, you know, Mercedes Moné had her debut match. You know, she made her appearance at Wrestle Kingdom and then said, you know, she was going to be at Battle in the Valley at San Jose. And that was where, you know, she actually had her debut match. And Okada teamed with Tanahashi there. So, I mean, they made it a big deal last year. So I guess it's kind of the same way, making it the big show to start off the new year in America as well.
Yeah, so that's going to be very interesting. All right, so the PWI came out and announced the top 100 tag teams for the year, the judging period.
Their grading period, yeah.
Yeah, so let's take a look and see. Have you, either of you been...
I have not perused the list at all. No.
Okay, perfect. Eric?
No.
Okay, perfect. So, see, you guys have no clue. I'm not going to make you guess all 10. I'll go through the remaining 9. But can you at least guess who was voted number one tag team?
When was the grading period?
That was about to be my question.
From what month to what month?
That is a good
because if question. It's before the split of the Usos, then the Usos are probably going to be number one.
Yeah.
If it's if it includes several months where they weren't teaming together, then they might be, you know, top five, not necessarily number one.
Yeah.
Because grading period matters here. Yeah, for sure.
Let's see here.
Because I need the. You know, for the 500 comes out, you know, in the at the beginning of the fall, their grading period is like July to June or something. So, when is the grading period for this? Yeah.
Apparently, it's harder to find PWI 100 tag teams. Usually, there is one that explains it, but
while he looks that up, we got We've got the Hulk Hogan coming out with Horace and Stevie Ray and Disco. And
so Hulkster's coming out with Kevin these guys Nash. Like flanking him.
Yeah, and Vincent. Okay. So I guess the majority of the B team was a little bit, or A team was a little busy.
Yeah. So it's pretty much Nash and the B team. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause this is after 99. So it was after the finger poke. So, you know, this was the combined NWO after we brought Black and White and Red and Black together
again.
And I think Scott Hall was out with,
problems. Well, a lot of guys were out too. Like Savage was, you know, was hurt. And Luger, you know, was part of Wolfpack, but I don't think he joined.
I think he ended up getting NWO. Hurt.
I think he ended up hurt, and then when he did come back, it was him and Buff is totally Buff, right?
Yeah, like
so he didn't ha-
I
really.
Think he had that like 5 minutes of where he was like kind of the narcissist character again, but
before becoming totally, totally Buff.
Yeah,
okay.
Which I could have lived my entire life without Totally Buff ever existing.
Yeah, I told you the best match they ever had was it Greed?
It was.
Yeah. Where they cut a promo longer than the match that
and
they got O'Hare squashed.
And Palumbo just straight up dominated just them,
crushed them,
jobbed them out. Which
the guys had a promo for 5 minutes, and the match lasted about 2 to 3.
I still don't understand how Sean O'Hare was not bigger than he was, but that's another story for another time.
I think they tried, but...
But they didn't try that hard. They gave him that stupid, like, devil's advocate character, and then didn't do anything with it.
The problem was is they shit on everybody from WCW from the invasion. Like, I don't understand how you turned one of the hottest acts in wrestling, not in WCW, in wrestling, in Diamond Dallas Page, into literal curtain jerker. But they did it. The only one that they ever, like, actually did well with from the like OG invasion angle was Booker
T. Mm.
Yeah,
pretty much everybody else was kind of crapped on and made to feel as a joke and a secondary character because, you know, they weren't part of the WWE system.
You weren't our friend. We beat you. You get fired.
Yeah. We didn't create you, so we're not going to push you.
So the ranking period is October to September.
Okay, then it's the Usos is number one, clearly.
All right. Danny, are you with the same?
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead. Yeah, because the way their grading is, you know, by viewership eyes and events and things like that, you know, with WWE's reach.
I changed my mind. They'll probably give it to FTR. Because I guarantee you it's an AEW-centric list. They'll give it to FTR.
Well, here's the thing. If it's going to be AEW-centric, it's not merely a bias. I think it's more that WWE doesn't have as many longer-tenured tag teams.
That's true. But
a lot of the teams come together for, you know, 6 months. And then they split, go their separate ways, or they feud. Whereas AEW pretty much has consistent guys who are just tag team wrestlers. They're not two singles wrestlers who came together for a while. I mean, FTR is probably top three, but I think the Usos are probably number one. FTR is probably top three.
Number one, FTR.
Okay, that's it. All right.
I mean, let's not forget FTR at. During the green period, AEW Tag Team Champions, New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yeah, and AAA.
Yeah.
Okay.
AAA.
And they were having more matches than the Usos. The Usos were doing a lot of storyline stuff, so they weren't wrestling every single week either.
And for the green period, let's not forget, the Usos lost their titles in April.
Okay.
So, the rematch.
Half the grading period, they were not champions. Okay.
Exactly. I mean, they weren't even a tag team because I think they broke up after their rematch. And that was all within the first 6 months.
They hadn't been broke up that long.
didn't think so.
Yeah, I didn't.
I don't think it's been that long.
They might not have just been wrestling as a tag team as consistently, but that breakup is only probably August, maybe, I want to say. July, August, maybe?
Yeah, I wanted to say SummerSlam for whatever reason.
Okay.
Night of Champions is when Jimmy turned on Roman.
When was Night of Champions? What month was Night of Champions?
May.
Oh, shit. Okay. Yeah, so then that's okay. Damn. Interesting.
I feel like that literally just happened. Shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was much more recent. Okay, so FTR is number one. Yeah, because in the kayfabe sense, they held championships across multiple continents.
It doesn't hurt that their boss is paying Meltzer, so.
But Meltzer doesn't write this, okay? Meltzer doesn't write this.
I know.
Number two, this one will make sense if we're going in this trend.
Hold on. In this trend, Aussie
Open.
The Gun Club. Oh,
the Aussie
damn.
Open.
Aussie Open, yeah.
I mean, they won, like, they won all the New Japan Pro Wrestling tag team titles. They could get until they got injured.
Yeah, until Davis got injured and they had to relinquish them.
And then they did come to the States and they had some great matches here.
It was really
okay.
It was the Gun Club. Shit.
So
I will.
So you got FTR, Aussie Open. So it's Usos number three then.
I will go ahead and spoil this. The Usos are not in the top ten.
Wow. Okay. I guess, and then yet again, if they weren't teaming together for half the grading period, okay, it makes sense. Yeah.
A little bit. Yeah.
So who's the first WWE? So I'm curious to see who the top ranked then team from WWE is.
Hold on, Eric, do not cheat.
I'm not cheating. I'm thinking.
Right. Okay.
So
number
if the
three
Usos were gone, and they're not in the top ten. The only other like major tag teams in WWE. So is it? I guess NXT would be thrown in there too. So, I would either guess Kevin and Sammy. Or the Creeds.
I think you got to go Kevin and Sammy because they had main evented one night of WrestleMania and a title win.
So I'm going to go Kevin and Sammy.
Yeah, that's my guess for number.
If I had a hold on, do I have a bell? Hold on.
Well, you.
I think I do have a bell.
A bell? Why do you need a bell?
To say whether you guys are right or wrong.
You can just tell us the answer. You ain't got to get a bell gimmick and shit. It's a little late to be bringing a gimmick into it.
Let's see how this works.
They're cutting a promo.
Oh, that's a bad one.
Blech.
Okay, so we're going to do booing or clapping. And for number three, you guys get... Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
I mean... Here,
stop. It was easy to. I mean, because if it wasn't the Usos, there wasn't any other tag teams, really.
Yeah, there's that. They're the only other tenured tag team. But here it is. Also, think about back watching Ring of Honor when those guys when Steen Erico was teaming feuding with the Briscoes and the American Wolves. Like, would you have ever thought those guys would be in the WWE main eventing WrestleMania? Now considered, the third greatest tag team in the world?
No, I don't think anybody could have thought of that.
It's amazing. That was like 15 years ago, but still, like, it's a lot happens and changes in wrestling. And I'm clearly thankful for it.
Okay, number four. For number four, we're going across the pond. Well, not even across the pond. We're going to the Far East.
Okay, Bishamon.
Okay, that's your guess. And how about you, Eric?
I don't fucking know anything about New Japan, so I don't care.
Yeah. Hiroki Goto and Yoshihashi.
Bishamon. All right. Okay. Yet again, they won tag. They won one World Tag League for the second time in a row. Won the belts at Wrestle Kingdom. Several successful defenses.
We saw it come to the United States as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Strong open weight and IWGP at the same time. And yet again, I mean, we're kind of starving for top tag teams.
Yeah.
This year, all right. You know?
Number five, I'll give you a clue. They were not signed to WWE, AEW, or New Japan Pro Wrestling.
So unsigned by essentially the top three promotions in the world. I'm trying to think, like, is there even a tag team that's tearing up the indies?
I mean, there was definitely a tag team that was making an impact.
So, Ace and Bay?
Machine Guns.
Oh, yeah, it's probably the Machine Guns because they had six individual and tag team success. So, I guess Motor City Machine Guns.
Is that your final answer?
Yes, sir. Yeah. And
Machine Guns at number five. And you guys were close. ABC was number six.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So
Impact gets two back-to-back, okay?
Back-to-back. I mean, hey, ABC, I mean, they crossed over. I mean, they were doing the thing in New Japan. They were, I mean, they were very successful once they joined Bullet Club of the United States after getting ABC that rub.
Has been killing it, yeah. Like,
They
legit deserve the love that they're getting. So
absolutely, they're an amazing tag team. Yeah,
yeah. So okay, number seven, AEW.
So if it's not Fuck the Revival,
it's not going to be Phoenix and Penta because they were because they both battled injury.
The Young,
so they weren't teaming together consistently. No.
The Acclaimed, because they were tag champions for like half the year.
There you go. Yeah, that makes sense. Go with the Acclaimed.
Everybody loves the Acclaimed.
Scissor me, daddy ass. Yeah.
Scissor me, Eric!
No. That's such a bad game.
Yeah. Okay, we're going back to WWE for number eight.
Alpha Academy?
Okay, let me give you a better clue. Number eight and number nine are both WWE.
I don't know if it was too late or too, like, in the grading period, but
I don't think the Creeds are top ten.
What about Balor and Priest? I don't know if it, because they were champions at the end of the period, if it was October.
Yeah, but at the same time, they didn't really, like, they weren't consistent as a two-man team throughout the year enough, I would think. War Raiders?
I'm gonna stick with Judgment Day.
I'm gonna go with Viking Raiders.
Okay. Let's see. You guys gave me two different answers. I got a good two different results. Let's start with Danny.
Oh,
it's not the Warriors. Let's see. Watch War the Judgment Day.
Okay.
But it didn't go specifically to Finn Balor and Damian Priest. It went to the trio, Finn Balor, Damian Priest, and Dominik Mysterio, because throughout the year, while they weren't an official tag team, they have wrestling tag team matches throughout period. So, and in dominant fashion. I mean, you get, you know, the Bloodline was dominant in one roster. You had the Judgment Day
was the other,
dominant in the other.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
And they were heavily featured all
okay,
over.
Okay, so that's,
you know,
so that's number seven.
Yeah.
So number eight is also WWE.
No, 8 and 9. So that was number 8. So we're at 9.
Okay. Oh, okay.
And it's another WWE?
It is another WWE tag team.
Well, shit. If we're thinking along the lines of that and individual and tag success, fuck. Damage Control.
That's what I was wondering. Are women's teams going to be included? I guess so. I mean, they're integrating.
I'm not
the,
trying.
They integrated the 500.
One way or another, I will confuse you. Let's do remember a women tag team was ranked number 3 in 2020 and number 9 in 2020. So we actually had two women tag teams.
Okay.
In 2020.
So it is. Okay. So it is integrated. Okay.
And I'm gonna roll with damage control just because of how dominant they've been, and I think in the grading period they were women's tag champs before Dakota got hurt.
Yeah, and no other consistent women's team. Or like team every others general. Have been people coming together for a little bit, and they don't really, you know, they're kind of coming and going together and off and on, kind of.
Because if and it's weird standards control. Too, because like Bloodline, Damage Control, and Judgment Day have like been the only consistent teams in WWE. And
yeah,
they're not even really teams; they're stables.
Yeah, they're stables, so that there isn't a. And they're not stables where like they designate, here's your single star, here's your tag team, here's your mid-card guy. They're like, we all kind of mix, intermingle based on whatever the need of the story is. I think I have to go with Damage Control.
Because I think EO and
Dakota
were have tag to be champs at some point, yeah.
Yeah. There we go. All right. Yeah. Cool.
Bailey, Dakota Kai, and EO Sky.
Good on them. Good.
All right. Hell yeah. Number 10. No way you're guessing number 10.
Bussy.
This is a tag team outside of the top 3.
Jesus Christ. Well, yeah, because it's number 10. Of course it's outside of the top 3.
But well, the top 3 companies. There's no way you guys are going to guess this. Danny, my introduction. Let me rephrase this. There's no way you're gonna guess it, Eric. I think there's a good chance, possibly. Then he does.
So it's outside of AEW, WWE, and New Japan, but it's a tag team in that sense. Okay. Well, I have no fucking clue. If it's a Japanese tag team that's not in New Japan.
Okay, I will give you guys a clue. They are a Stardom tag team.
Oh, why would I not know Stardom?
I don't know. You seem to not watch anything from Japan.
Is it it's Donna Del Mundo, Giulia, and Tekla, right?
Okay, that's your answer.
You didn't they win the tag league?
Did they?
Maybe. Maybe not.
I thought.
Oh yeah. The tag league just ended, and it was Bane and Micah that won it. Shout out to Megan Bane, crushing it over in Stardom too, mind you.
Well, I know last year's Goddess of Stardom, like the tag league, wasn't that that was fucking you and Takahashi, wasn't it?
I don't remember I just know this year's because it just ended a couple weeks ago, and it was Megan Bain and Micah. That's who won it, the tournament. Shit.
So who are you going with?
I think I got to go with Donna Del Mundo of Julia and Tekla.
Okay. I think I'm going to go with you and Takahashi because I think they won the league last year, and that should have been in the grading period, right?
Yeah, because this year's just missed it, so last year's definitely would have been in, yeah.
All right, so Danny, you are...
No, Donna Del Mundo.
You better not be Googling this thing.
Oh, did I actually get that right?
7-0?
He follows Stardom well enough.
Okay. Yeah, dude, I like Joshi. I don't give a shit about the dudes wrestling over there, but Joshi's good.
Yeah, no.
Can I just tell you about this random tag match that's actually on TV right now?
Please.
We're watching Buff Bagwell and Scott Steiner versus Rick Steiner and Goldberg.
Ooh.
Mm. 7-Up, I mean,
that's their tag name, 7-Up.
Yeah, okay. I mean, they became the number one contenders for any Stardom championship. I think at the they tagged all over the place. They even came to New Japan Pro Wrestling in late 2022.
For one of the for a showcase match. Yeah.
So
all right.
Yeah,
heads up, seven up.
Queen's Quest
number 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Good for them.
Well, and yet again, I was trying to think, it's a consistency of tag teams across a lot of promotions, not just WWE, but, Stardom. I mean, TJPW, even New Japan, has like a handful, but a lot of the guys, like, they may team together when needed, but they're still typically singles guys.
Yeah. Well, see, you think about it, like with Nene and you, they started tagging together in September of last year, and they've been on a roll ever since.
Yeah, they've pretty much been a consistent tag team ever since. Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. That's the difference. And then that most of the other teams, even if they've had a lot of accolades, the majority of the year was probably spent in singles or bigger multi-person matches, three on threes and four on fours and stuff.
Right.
Unless you start looking at maybe some of the, Catch 2-2 or Intergalactic Jet Setters.
Yeah. So there you go, your top 10
tag teams in the world. And not a single Lucha representative. Huh. I guess they don't have a strong consistency of tag teams either.
No.
Not even Dinamitas or anything, huh?
Wow. The crazy part is Los Barcas. The two WWE representatives are fucking stables. So, I mean, like, what are...
Well, no, Sammy and...
Oh, there was
Sammy
three.
And Kevin. Yeah. But, yeah, they're pretty much stables that... Well, at least, because one of them was just wrote as a stable, but Damage Control was specifically listed as EO and Dakota, because, of course, Bailey was not teaming with either of them, unless it was to be a six-person team.
Yeah.
So there you go. Congratulations to all the teams that made it, and absolutely.
And the ones that did not, keep fighting. You'll get it next year, baby. Come on.
Yeah. So there we go. We had that. Surprisingly, I think not seeing something. Obviously, the Briscoes. Obviously, that from last year to this year, that make it dropping the Death Triangle. That no longer a thing. Injury with Pentagon and Rey Fénix. The Good Brothers, really, since they came back to the league, haven't been showcased much, especially injury.
They're just collecting paycheck,
And they're also not great. So
the Young Bucks, the Hex. I haven't really seen much of the Hex, to be honest.
Yeah,
they lost. Yeah, they were tag belts and kind of.
Yeah.
And then they hadn't really done a whole lot since then. Yeah, they've made some appearances here and there, but definitely not consistently.
Similar for Violence is Forever. I mean, they were at one point last year tearing up the indies, and they just So they started the tag teams. I think PW tag teams 2020 with FTR on top, and FTR is now back on top after second place last year. They are back.
Yeah, gonna make them say yeah.
All right. Next up, so AEW's Continental Classic. A lot has changed. A lot more information has come. So it is now going to. It's not just a winner of a tournament. It is now going to be a Triple Crown winner, as what's his name? Kenny Kingston. Eddie Kingston has put up his ROH world title and his New Japan strong
open weight
championship. And there's apparently going to be a Continental Classic title. Okay. So making this a new
a triple crown.
Yeah,
triple basically crown. Between three different companies, even though two of them are owned by the same person.
Yeah, but here's my thing.
Yeah,
my thought: the triple crown. I mean, and you know, no offense to anybody. You know, I mean, I know Noah did it, right? Triple crown, and I know there's other companies that have done similar things. I mean, including the ROH world title, and now the secondary title, does this devalue the ROH world championship, making it part of a triple crown and not standing by itself?
Well, at this point, it's a developmental title, so you fucking might as well, you know? I mean, that's pretty much what ROH is being used for in the, you know, AEW umbrella. It's basically being used as developmental. So yes, there is a lot of heritage and lineage to it, but even the last, you know, year plus, that hasn't been upheld. Because it's not being treated as such, because there's now a bunch of other belts on television that are pushed more predominantly than that belt. So that devalued the belt much faster and much more readily than being part of a triple crown could.
Hmm. Yeah. Kind of sad to see how it's falling. We thought it was gonna be revived and come back to their old glory, but
we had hoped was gonna happen.
We had hoped that maybe, but we kind of thought more than likely this is what's going to happen, and unfortunately we were right in that respect.
I immediately said it was going to get thrown to the fucking wayside because he didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
Speaking of AEW, though.
Like I said, I thought of that. I thought it would, but I also held out a little bit of hope that maybe it would be set aside and given its own brand, and you wouldn't just have, you know, the guys going back and forth between ROH and AEW so regularly.
I had 3 years of All Elite, and I already knew what was going to happen. I didn't need convincing.
You didn't even have hope.
No, I knew it. I knew it was fucked immediately. Luchasaurus has a new name.
Oh, really?
He is now Killswitch.
Oh my goodness!
Wasn't that Swerve's name? No, that was Killshot. Never mind.
Killswitch is Strickland's finisher.
The Killswitch is what he calls the Unprettier and has since his return from when he went to Impact. It became the Killswitch.
And there was
still wearing the dinosaur mask?
Yeah, he's still wearing it.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
I will never understand why we had to change it from Unprettier to Killswitch. Never.
Because maybe WWE owns the name Unprettier.
I don't think they did.
He changed it when he came back to WWE.
It was still the Unprettier in Impact?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think this was because he was coming back with kind of a new presentation and a new character. And the Unprettier, you know, the aspect of breaking someone's face in that manner, I think showed a little bit more arrogance than they wanted the new character to have. Maybe. So you call it the Killswitch. It sounds cool and tough. You know, I think that's kind of where they were leaning into.
Maybe.
All right, here we go. The
Flip the Switch. That stupid little shirt with him, with the little tiny
fucking
cartoon.
Oh
him
my god!
Pulling the fucking handle.
That shit was gross. All right,
guys. The tournament rules: 20-minute time limits.
Okay.
For the round robin, 3 points for a win, 1 point for a draw.
Okay.
Yeah, everyone is banned from ringside, so no outside interference.
Okay.
It's gonna be two divisions.
Yeah.
The Gold League and the Blue League. In the Gold League, John Moxley, Swerve Strickland, Rush, Mark Briscoe, Jay Lethal, and Jay White. The Blue League, Brian Danielson, Andrade El Idolo, Brody King, Claudio Castagnoli, Daniel Garcia, and Eddie Kingston. They promised us the best wrestlers in AEW.
I mean, I'd say that's a pretty good list of best wrestlers, yeah. Like I said, apart from Lethal, just because he's fucking boring, and Garcia, because he's fucking boring.
Yeah.
But I would say the others are definitely some of the best in-ring performers, yeah. You might have people who are better, quote-unquote, stars or what have you, but I think those guys are definitely seen for their in-ring primarily over character work and stuff.
I would have thought you would have added El Ocho and the Cleaner on this.
No.
They're more focused on being a tag team.
Yeah, so. they're doing their nerdy shit, you know. So let them do that.
I'm surprised Brody King and not Malakai Black.
I think Malakai's hurt.
I think Malakai's been battling something because he came back, but he's like. I think he's battling a nagging injury, like not something that requires time off, just kind of a little bit lighter work load.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, why are we building a barbed wire steel cage now?
I'm surprised not Christian.
Yet again, he's got storyline stuff, man, that takes precedent over titles.
All of the guys that you mentioned out of the like three that I listened to apparently don't have any storylines going on, theoretically.
Yeah. Yeah, that's apart from a couple, that's kind of the thing. Yeah,
Mox so
that's
kind that's, of ended his shit with orange juice the other day, and
All right, so it started on tonight on Dynamite. It's gonna continue on Saturday. I don't have the full schedule of the matches, but it doesn't sound like. It doesn't sound like Brian Danielson is wrestling this Saturday, so it makes absolutely no sense why he couldn't attend.
Unless he's going to be calling commentary for the match or something, scouting his opponents or whatever.
Yeah, whatever. It's stupid.
It is.
I still feel very much a kind of way. Full Gear. I mean, Full Gear was a great pay per view. I won't deny that. I'll give them their flowers. They really did a good job on presenting a top to bottom show that this time finished before midnight, but it still got close with a total of 11 matches. Eddie Kingston defeated Jay Lethal to retain the ROH World Title. Claudio Castagnoli defeated Buddy Matthews, and MJF and Samoa Joe defeated the Gun Club to retain the ROH World Tag Team titles. As part of the deal between MJF and Samoa Joe will get a AEW World Title match against MJF. So MJF, get ready to lose that belt because Samoa Joe missed once. He ain't missing twice. To kick off the show, you had a six-man tag team, Sting, Darby Allin, and Adam Copeland, defeating the Patriarchy, is what they're calling themselves now.
Adam, so you're telling me that Adam Copeland and Sting curtain jerked on pay-per-view? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, they opened, yeah. Oh, with Ric Flair in the corner.
Yeah, Well, but I'm just, can they spend all this money to bring in Adam Copeland and they put him on the opening match of the pay-per-view.
In a six-man tag match.
In a six-man tag.
Let that man get his money. And
I am letting him get his money. I'm more questioning the usage of that money. The man can get his money. I ain't got that problem. I mean,
how many millions of dollars has TK spent and still don't know what the fuck to do with his roster?
That means Adam could go back to the hotel before 9 o'clock and go chill and cool his kids.
He can just go home earlier. That's all that matters. And they're old. All of those people in that match were old, except for Nick Darby. Wayne. and Nick Wayne.
Darby, who's now taking time away from wrestling to train to climb Mount Everest.
Like Adam Copeland saying that this was a dream, it was a dream teaming up with Sting, and of course he came with half his face painted like Darby. I would have thought he would have painted the other side to kind of be like opposite Darby, but no, the same side of the face, just like Darby. All good. Orange Cassidy defeated John Moxley to retain the AEW International Championship. I don't get that. It's okay. Toni Storm once again becomes champion. She defeats Shida for the AEW Women's World Championship. That was a pretty good match there. 20 minutes.
I mean, I was
10 minutes.
A little shocked by the outcome, but it makes sense given how the new character's taking off. I think it makes sense the way the popularity of that character is going to put the belt on her.
Yeah. Ricky Starks and Big Bill retain their AEW World Tag Team titles in a four-way tag team ladder match against La Facción Ingobernable, FTR, and Kings of the Black, Malakai Black and Brody King. I'm not sure exactly what they got in store, but I guess, you know, if facing off against the Golden Jets in the future is going to be a thing, then let Ricky Starks and Big Bill be the ones to do the job, right? I mean, we don't want none of the other three teams wants to win the belt just to pass it off to the Golden Jets. Julia Hart became the youngest AEW champion in the company's very short history, as she defeated Chris Statlander and Sky Blue for the TBS Championship.
Yet again, congratulations, being the youngest champion at 22 years old. Similar to Toni Storm, it makes sense. The way the character is taking off, it makes sense to move the championship to her. The girl has, yeah, well, that too. Coming from basically just kind of being a model extra, you know, as a cheerleader, you know, went signed when she's 18, to transitioning to the, you know, changing to the character, the new character, and over time finally embracing it, you know, good on her. I'm very, intrigued to see how far she can go as far as wrestling, you know. Yet again, she's still very young. She's still kind of taking it slow, taking her time.
She's doing well. Got to give her props.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Like I said, and a lot of it, I think, has to do with the character work. You know, that's what I think probably gave them hope to try and do more with her. Developing just the spray in the eye to the, you know, kind of almost like a cult follower to being the witchy, you know, the witchy woman who brought them back from the beyond, kind of, you know, like that was a really fucking cool video. And, you know, that the transition of her, yet again, transition of her character from, you know, I mean, a model stand in, you know, basically just being a cheerleader with these guys, that was her whole thing, you know, to developing a much deeper level character. And yet again, you know, coming quite a good ways with her ring work as well. Congratulations. Take it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. She's still the fourth member of the team. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Swerve Strickland defeated Hangman and Page by knockouting what many are calling the greatest Texas Death Match.
The greatest hardcore match on American pay-per-view or something, something, something.
Just went 30 minutes. Let's not go crazy about that. Maybe the best Texas Death Match in AEW and probably Page has been in all of them. Let's not go crazy and say it's the best ever. I mean, there have been the hardcore matches that we've seen, some not even televised and live.
It's been worse.
you know, this is a lot of that, you know, newness kind of thing too, is that when, you know, it's the greatest ever just because it's new and you watched it happen. They're two good performers. I haven't watched the match yet, but from what I'm hearing, you know, they did an excellent job, not just, you know, of kind of pacing themselves as well, the leading up to bigger moves and things like that.
So there's only one good performer in that match.
Hangman's good. He's
Izzy.
No, Hangman's Izzy. He's good.
Izzy.
He's good. He's not great, but he's Izzy. Good.
He's sort of
yeah. Yeah, he's decent.
Izzy.
That's what I'm saying. He's good. Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
You're just heavily biased because you don't like the Elite, and he's Elite.
No, he's I think he's been phoning it in for 3 years.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He's good. He's not great. You know, he's consistent. He's not out there screwing up, you know. Notice, you know, visibly.
I can tell you somebody that would beg to differ that.
Mm-hmm. All right, the Golden Jets defeated the Young Bucks.
We're not even going to talk about the disgusting-ass fucking spot?
I mean, we can.
Like, we're just going to gloss over the fact that this man drank somebody else's fucking blood on that, on fucking pay-per-view.
Right, like, out of his face. Right, just out of his face.
I mean, I'd rather forget gross things like
right
that.
Right out of the man's face. He just stuck the guy's head over his mouth and caught it down into his mouth and then went and then stood up and like spewed it like fucking Gangrel.
Fucking disgusting.
And with that, the Golden Jets defeated the Young Bucks. The Golden Jets now are the number one contenders for the AEW World Tag Team title. So, yeah. Your main event, MJF, did a Hulk Hogan-esque, you know, performance there, coming back from the ambulance. This reminds me of Clash of Champions, August 1994.
Of course it does.
After the Butcher attacked Hulk, sent him to the hospital, but the Hulkster comes back, you know. And yeah.
Adam Cole in crutches and shit was like, I'll defend the belt for him.
And they were going to let him, the idiots. So MJF overcame every obstacle.
He Herculean could. Effort in order to defeat the Switchblade.
By cheating, of course.
Well, yeah, because he's,
you know,
he lies, he cheats, he steals.
Using the ring that he won, I think 2 years ago he won that thing? I can't remember.
The fucking Battle Bowl.
Yeah, defeated Jay White. Retained the AEW World title. You know, for somebody who you know, was wrestling with a quote-unquote injury like that, he definitely put in a great performance.
It's called not selling. They do it in wrestling a lot, especially AEW.
That over-the-top cutter was pretty darn good. Timed very well, because that could have been a disaster.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways that could have been bad.
But
I mean, even the landing was good for both guys. I mean, that could have been a bad thing where they just landed fucking hard, but they both landed pretty well to where they weren't, you know, dead afterwards.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean,
still a little upset that Switch didn't win, but you know, his time's coming, man. His time's coming.
It's still his era. Time is now.
It's still his era, okay?
Yeah. On to their next pay-per-view, World's End, December 30th. So let's see how they do. You knew that, you know, women All In, All Out were going to do well. Okay, November comes. They do Full Gear. I mean, it was... Hell with all their stars. Let's see what they do for World's End December 30th. We know we have MJF versus Samoa Joe for the AEW World title. The championship finals of the AEW Continental Classic to crown the new Triple Crown champion. Let's not forget, though, we did get an announcement. The newest signee to AEW, and we get a name that, of course, a lot of people guessed, Will Ospreay becoming the newest roster member of AEW. However, he is under contract with New Japan through February of next year, so we won't see him until after that. What he gets out of AEW, of course, he gets a lot of fresh matches with some people that he, you know, may not have a chance to have a match with. You know, I mean, we do know that Brian Danielson is looking to retire possibly in the next year or so. So, I mean, people want to be able to have a chance to see that match. I mean, there's a bunch of other exciting matches that Will Ospreay will have. There's also that continued working relationship with New Japan Pro Wrestling, where, you know, he could still do things with them after his contract ends. With this contract and with this deal, he gets to stay home in the UK. So he will continue to live in the UK and travel to the United States for shows and pay-per-views. So looks like that was really enticing for Ospreay. Now, why they announced it so early? They usually don't announce these kind of things when they're under contract. But obviously, they have New Japan and AEW have that working relationship. So sure, if they knew they wanted to sign him, they would work with him on announcing it. Why did they announce it so early? Well, two reasons. A, TK loves to have some Big Bang announcement at his pay-per-view shows. Secondly, the Wembley show is going on, tickets are going on sale next month, and he wanted to assure fans that one of the UK's biggest stars was going to be on that show, because he's now in the country with AEW, and he will be performing at All In at Wembley in August 2024.
I think so, there's another reason behind it, actually.
Which was your theory?
I think it's because they knew WWE was about to chomp at the bit. And they wanted to outbid.
Well, they definitely did that. You know, they had something to offer him that right now he wanted to take advantage of, and good for him. Make sure that, you know, if he got everything he wanted, then all props. And right now it seems that if you're a free agent and anybody's interested in you, they'll give you whatever you want. So why not go after it while you can, right? Except for the Usos. Apparently, Jey Uso's not going anywhere. And he even called at the Young Bucks and said, you guys want to do this match? You guys have to come here. So we'll see if we ever see the Usos versus the Young Bucks.
I could probably go the rest of my life without seeing that, to be honest.
I mean, that will probably break the super kick counter off the charts. So, the WWE Survivor Series is happening this upcoming Saturday. It is titled War Games. Gunther defending his WWE Intercontinental Championship against Miz. Rhea Ripley defending the Women's World Championship against Zoe Starks. Carlito facing off against Santos Escobar. In the Women's War Games match, you got Bianca Belair, Charlotte Flair, Shotzi, and Becky Lynch facing off against Damage Control. And the Judgment Day and Drew McIntyre will be facing off against Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins, Jey Uso, Sami Zayn, and the returning Randy Orton.
All right, Randy.
Of course, this weekend coming up, Danny and I will be traveling on Friday morning to Winston-Salem, North Carolina for the 2024 WrestleCade, not the year of the American Dragon. To see a lot of great wrestling, of course. GCW will be presenting, featuring their show on Friday night. The Super Show, the WrestleCade Super Show, of course, airing on Saturday afternoon. Ladies Night Out, we see some of the best women wrestlers out there, independent women wrestlers, on Sunday afternoon. And of course, the meet and greet, we can meet the stars of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Yeah, so it's going to be a great weekend. And of course, not only that, but because it's a more central location and everybody is around in walking distance, we get to see a lot of friends that we don't normally get to see. It's a little less crazier than the WrestleMania weekend because everything's so spread out. But with this, there's a lot of great times, enjoying some good drinks, some good brothers and sisters, in and about the restaurants and hotel bars near the convention center. So, we continue to keep the tradition alive. We're doing it one more year, and I'm hoping that Eric will surprise us and just show up there and say, "Hey, guys."
Yeah.
I wouldn't bet money on it.
But yeah, that is what we got. So, guys, are you guys excited for the return of Randy Orton?
Yeah, that's sure. A good thing.
Are you looking forward to the WrestleCade, Danny? I mean,
yeah.
We always look forward to this.
Yeah.
So, Orton Wrestling Saturday actually kind of breaks a interesting evolution streak. Because, he is going to now be the latest member of Evolution to wrestle, which was previously held by Ric Flair. So now it's Randy again.
All right. So now we're going to end the show a little bit differently. But when I say a little bit differently, I still mean similar to the ways we've done in the past. Danny, I hope you are nearby a computer or you can do this on your phone.
I can do this on my phone. Should be able to.
Okay, I send you guys a link.
Okay.
Because we're going to watch a match together.
And I'm already watching wrestling.
Yeah, together. It's all about together forever. All right, are you guys in? Let me hear you if you are in. Okay. All right. Okay, perfect. You guys can hear me? I cannot hear you guys want to speak, so I can make sure I'm hearing you on the correct thing. Danny, can you say something? Yeah, I cannot hear you, Danny. You need to be muted on the Google on the room. You need to be not muted on this podcast. Eric, how about you? Are you guys talking? Because your audio is not coming through. Eric, can you say something? No? Eric? Danny? Do you guys hear me? Eric, do you hear me? Eric, we can hear you on the Google Meet, not on the podcast. Can you hear me? Yes. We can hear you there, but we need to hear you through the podcast, not...
I can't hear anybody or anything when I'm in the meet, so...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I just left.
So technical difficulties here. So I think we are going to have to try this another time. On different devices. You guys have to watch the meet on a separate device. So we can try this another time. Since this is not as simple as it's supposed to be.
Yeah. You gotta let us know ahead of time so we can better plan, sir.
I know. Well, it worked so well last time. I figured we can make it work, but alas, we cannot.
I didn't want to watch 87 Survivor Series anyway.
Oh, it's okay. We have next week. All right. So let's just, before we close up the show, can the Miz do the impossible? Can he break the streak, or is he just another one of Gunther's victims?
Gunther's victim. I'm really confused because this episode of Nitro has been on for 25 minutes and there hasn't been one wrestling match, but there's been like four promos and like now Scott Steiner's getting arrested out of a NWO vehicle. I know that I'm completely off what you asked, but
Attitude Era, brother. Attitude Era was truly the greatest era of all the wrestling, all the great wrestling we got to watch during that time period. You know, no matches and then
wrestling,
like 6 minute matches. Somebody was saying like they were watching some, I can't remember what pay-per-view, but it was an Attitude Era pay-per-view. And he was like, on the 3 minute show, there was less than an hour and a half of wrestling. He said, and there were so many matches and none of them went above 6.5 minutes. He's like, the Attitude Era.
Yeah. Nobody watched the wrestling shows for wrestling.
So, like, it started out with, like, this last Thursday on Thunder, and it was, like, the entire Ric Flair promo. And then it went from that to Hulk Hogan promo. And then from Hulk Hogan's promo, it went to a Hogan and Nash promo watching a Ric Flair promo. And then now
Scott, it's like Steiner, promo inception, man. Promo within a promo? What the fuck?
And now Scott Steiner and Buff Bagwell are cops, apparently. Like, they have honorary sheriff's badges, and they're, like, being dicks? I don't...
You know, they're basically just being themselves, but while wearing a police badge, basically.
I'm so confused as to, like...
They're basically just being a police badge while also being wrestlers who are assholes.
What? March 8th, 99. I wonder why. Let's just do a Googs. What was the all original question?
Rhea Ripley's going to destroy Sonya Stark.
Or does I don't know if she's going to destroy her.
I mean, I think Rhea wins, but yeah, it's not going to be a crushing victory. I think it's this is their chance to make people pay attention to Zoe as a real, you know, a threat in the division kind of thing. Just having Rhea steamroller would do no help to anybody.
Mm-hmm. All right, Carlito or Santos Escobar?
Fucking Santos is going to shave that guy's head when he's done.
Carlito.
Luchas de impuestas.
Hair versus hair.
Yeah, fucking hair versus hair. Shave Carlito's head.
This is a go-home before a pay-per-view. What the fuck?
That's why they're doing all the promos. Huh. Cool.
Gotta promote the pay-per-view.
It's all about selling the stories, not the wrestling.
There was apparently a Conan music video that I forgot. Okay.
Oh.
Then what in the fuck is happening? I'm reading like a review.
Yeah.
It's an hour before anybody even steps foot in a wrestling ring. And it's the promo. What are we doing? And the first match is like an hour and a half into the show, and it's Raven versus Hack.
It's for the hardcore belt.
Oh my god. And then next is Chris Jericho versus Liz Mark, and then Booker versus Scott. Holy. And that's the show. That's the show. What the fuck are we doing? Man.
Running ourselves into the ground at this point is what we're doing, sir.
Are you telling me you never watched this show live?
No!
No, he was very young when all this happened, so he saw them in bits and pieces, but now he's going back and watching the shows complete fully.
Wow. Oh, look, it's Maskless Ray Ray.
Welcome to
1999, brother. Mm-hmm.
He just needs his devil horns. This is before his Oshkoshes, so like he's in camo pants and baggy pants, apparently. The following announcement has been paid for by the NWO.
By the New World Order.
Fo-fo-fo-fo-live.
It's Tori Wilson shooting a gun, and we've still yet to see wrestling.
Well, you're not here to watch wrestling.
Oh, now Hulk Hogan's going to the shooting range with Kevin Nash. Okay.
That's how they shoot the shot.
I'm thoroughly about right. to skip this episode of Nitro.
Who wins the women's... you literally have. Who wins the women's War Games match?
Damage control?
Runs
or
right
triple
through.
Tails. Triple tails for triple plus tails. Bailey.
Yeah,
too early to get rid of Bailey.
Well, they don't need to get rid of her right now. No, she let her take a big ass whooping in the cage first, and then start shoving her out.
All right. And who is the men's War Games?
Cody's team. The American Nightmares.
I did like it when they used to have names.
I don't think they ever did for War Games. It was for Survivor Series. But...
Okay, that's what I meant. I liked it when they had names for Survivor Series. Although they did for War Games, they wanted, they did Team NWO, Wolfpack, Team WCW, or something like that.
Or they had yeah, Team but Piper. It was just like stable names. I mean, theoretically, it's Judgment Day, so that one's got a name. Damage Control has a name.
Yeah. I do miss those tag team names of, you know, the good old days. Was it 1987 or 89 when they started naming these?
I don't know.
Yeah, definitely not 87.
Oh, we finished that announcement. Now we're on another following announcement has been paid for by the New World Order. But it's now they've left the shooting range, and now Hogan, Nash, and Tori Wilson are at dinner.
Oh.
Oh, it was 1989 when they started naming them. The Dream Team versus the Enforcers. The King's Court versus the 4x4s. The Hulkamaniacs versus the Million Dollar Team. The Rude Brood versus Roddy's Rowdies. The Ultimate Warriors versus the Heenan Family. This all live at the Survivor Series Extravaganza Thanksgiving Edition. Live on pay-per-view. Or whatever it is they called it back in the day.
Pay-per-view?
Yeah.
Why is Nash eating off Tori's plate? That's so rude.
He's
new. Oh, he Tori had anything to do with the NWO for a minute.
Yeah.
Most of us forget a lot of what she did. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nobody was paying attention to what Sherry was doing.
No. They were just looking at her bikini pictorials.
Yeah. Well, that is it for tonight. The show, before we get it canceled, before we get it shut down. Next week, we'll recap the shenanigans and all the good times at the WrestleCade. Obviously, we'll talk about Survivor Series. And yeah, we'll see how Tony Khan continues to make pro wrestling the greatest thing ever, I guess.
And World Tag League.
Yes, we'll definitely cover the tag league as it's coming. It should be midway, not closer to the, yeah, midway.
Yeah, they just did the second show yesterday.
Yeah. So always make sure you check out all the backlog of our episodes, including this an interview out there with Swerve Strickland that we did back in the day. In one of our much, much earlier episodes. So check us out. Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Amazon Music, and many more places. Always check us out on the X at FOW Radio. Danny's on X at Danny F in Danger. Eric's on X at EJ423X. Mika's on Twitter. On X at Mika Villas. I'm on X at
it'll always be Twitter.
It's still Twitter.
And until next time. Yeah, whatever. Until next time, keep watching wrestling.